Of WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Time is quickly evaporating after Israel's evacuation orders for the northern Gaza Strip ahead of an expected land offensive. Correspondent Imtiaz Tayyab is in Jerusalem.
Carrying whatever they can, Palestinians flee their homes in northern Gaza on foot, following Israel's order by leaflets for the more than 1 million people who live there to evacuate. A mass evacuation, the UN says, is impossible. We don't know where we're going, says Ahmed Awad, a resident of Beit Hanun. We are heading south, but don't know where. There's no shelter or anything. We left the house we were living in. God help us.
CBS's Charlie Daggett is on the Israeli front near the Gaza border.
Even under relentless Israeli attack, Hamas unleashed its own retaliation, firing more than 150 rockets toward the southern city of Ashkelon. It comes as Israeli defense officials said ground forces had launched raids into Gaza for the first time, hunting for militants and more than 100 hostages they're holding. They said the incursion involved tanks and infantry soldiers.
The House has gone home for the weekend. Still no speaker in place, although Ohio's Jim Jordan won a secret ballot vote for the nomination.
Are you running again for speaker?
Yep.
But a nomination doesn't guarantee a win, even with a Republican majority. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
This was a narrow victory for Jim Jordan in a secret ballot election of the GOP conference as they chose their newest nominee to be Speaker of the House. He got 124 votes. Austin Scott of Georgia got 81, and Scott didn't join the race till this afternoon. The House is out this weekend. They'll vote as early as Tuesday, but Jordan has many minds to change to get to the 217 votes he needs to win.
Philadelphia police are looking for the man they say shot two officers, killing one. The pair were investigating vehicle break-ins last night at Philadelphia International Airport. This is Mayor Jim Kenney.
What happened last night was a terrible tragedy and a sobering reminder of the danger our police officers face every day on the job.
Officials say the wounded officer is in stable condition. They say the officers shot the suspect, who, again, is still on the run. Some 2 months after wildfires burned through western Maui, officials have released audio of 911 calls from residents trying to get out.
Fire.
You need to leave, yeah? Is everybody out of the house?
Yes, but do for house fire.
If you are not safe, you gotta find some way to get to the ocean.
She's in traffic and it's not moving.
The fires killed 98 people in Maui, parts of which are now reopened to tourists. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer will be the next chair of the Great Lakes St. Louis Governors and Premiers 2023 Leadership Summit. Governor Evers served as chair of the organization for the last 4 years. The organization includes chief executives from Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, and Quebec. The governors and premiers work together to grow the region's $6 trillion economy and protect the Great Lakes. Assembly lawmakers will take up a $546 million ballpark financing plan next week, aiming to keep the Milwaukee Brewers in Wisconsin until at least 2050. The bill was approved by a bipartisan group of lawmakers in the Assembly Committee on State Affairs and will now advance to the full chamber. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says the bill will likely be brought up on Tuesday. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has expressed support for their proposal for long-term improvements at American Family Field. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5
The Tap.
Follow and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and site still known as Twitter, at Green News Report.
Are you tired of think tank-approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to. Lots to talk about. Oh boy, another day of Kevin McCarthy blaming Democrats. Yeah, it's all the Democrats' fault. The Democrats voted to try to bring chaos. it's all the Democrats' fault, Kevin. You're in this mess because, yes, it's the Democrats who did this to you. The Democrats did it. And look, you know, that's all they've got, really. That's all they can do right now is blame the Democrats, right? Because there's not much else. They certainly can't blame themselves, can they? Because ultimately they're the ones that are responsible. I mean, it's almost like they're on this weird murder-suicide pact where they can't figure out how to get themselves, well, functional. And the weird thing is, Jim Jordan today got the Republican House Conference nomination. Didn't we just do this? Wasn't this just kind of deja vu-ish? He got 124 votes to Austin Scott's 81 votes, makes him the nominee. Now gets to go possibly, maybe, not even sure if it goes to the floor. Because, look, if he had the 217 he needs, they'd have done it already. It happened. It would have happened already. If they had the 217 votes, it'd be over. They'd be celebrating. They'd be drinking, doing whatever it is that they do. But, you know, here's the thing. He's far short of the 217. So, again, it makes this all, well, just another charade. And look, you know, here's the thing. Even Republicans aren't even showing up for it. Patrick McHenry told members that out of the 221 Republicans, only 209 bothered to show up. You know, the rest of them were out, I don't know, doing podcasts or, I don't know, something. Now, the weird thing is Republicans are in crisis. There's trouble here because they cannot seem to figure out how to fix their problem. And it's the eight who are holding them hostage. And, you know, what's kind of important to understand in this moment, about this time, in this moment right now that we're living through, is that the Republicans respect nothing. They respect none of the norms of the past. They respect none of the precedent of the past. None of that. They don't respect election results. And that's new-ish. And the thing is they don't even respect the election results that they control. Now, understand, you know, you had the caucus nod that Scalise got, which normally in normal times, you come out of that conference, you have the backing of the majority of the members, and you go, hey, as a functional party, we won, let's move along, let's get some work done. There are things we can do. That used to mean something. That used to get things done. Not now. You've got a handful of people who are literally holding the country hostage. And I was thinking about this today. Think of how the Republicans have normalized chaos. Think about in the Trump era. Now, look, they've always been the party of no. They've always been the party of gridlock and delay. But they've always done it within the parameters of governmental norms. Now you got, no, we're burning things down. We're going to overrun the Capitol and defecate on your floor. This is a weird moment we're in. Because, you hear about government being about compromise and working together and, for the common good and, all those high-minded things. How do you, if you're the Democrats, how do you compromise with people who can't even compromise with themselves? They won't even compromise with people that they agree with. They agree with each other on 99% of things and yet still can't get to yes. And look, I hope it hurts them. I hope they get their just rewards out of this. I hope they get what they've earned, which is a permanent minority status, which is shown the door come next November, which is the end of their reign of terror, if you will. Because again, what have they accomplished? And they go, but they only have a slim majority. They've only got 221 votes. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi had a smaller margin, got things done, didn't have dysfunction. Because here's the thing: you have people on the Democratic side who believe in government, who believe that we should be doing things to make people's lives better. We should be doing things to improve our country's infrastructure, to improve the future of humanity, if you will. But on the other side, you've got bomb throwers and destroyers. And that's a problem. And this is one of those things that's really frustrating and angering. Now, you say, are they going to get what they earn and what they deserve? What it appears, the fundraisers don't happy. The fundraisers are not pleased. The moneyed interests certainly not pleased, because they're kind of pulling back. Evidently, they don't know who to buy. This is the weird part. The moneyed interests don't know which person to buy. who on the list? Who's going to be the leader and whose coffers do you fill? Now, Scalise, I kind of understood because he does have some fundraising ability. And, with his baggage, although, in some circles, his I'm David Duke without the baggage is a positive. He could have brought money in, but not now. McCarthy, his well has dried up. And you're going to go to Jim Jordan? One of the most unlikable people in Congress to be your fundraiser? Because understand, being speaker is about more than just slamming the gavel on the table and yelling and screaming. It's about leadership. It's about vision. It's about actually getting things done. It's about bringing people together. And oh, by the way, it's about fundraising. So what you've got now is, and this could help Democrats down the road, you've got the Republican money machine going help. And look, if you're a rich guy, Do you want to get involved in any of this? I got to think not so much. But I got a lot to get, a lot to talk about. I got to tell you, this is insane. And it's sucking all of the oxygen out of the room. It's sucking all of the energy out of the room when there are horrible things going on around the world. And there's some really good things going on here at home. And I look at, you know, Sean Fain's speech today about going, hey, you know, we in the working class, we're going to take on the moneyed interest. We're going to take on big corporations, and we're going to fight for a better standard of living. See, this is where I want to spend my time. This is what we should be doing. At some point, I got to wonder, when do we finally realize that Republicans have broken our government and we got to take it back? I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Lots to get to. Quick break, right back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Absolutely amazing where we are. Just mind-blowing. Let's quick go to the phones. We've got Kurt from Akron on line one. Kurt, how you doing today?
Hey, good evening, and I haven't talked to you in 11 billion years.
What's on your mind?
Well, hey, first of all, $2.85 a gallon for gas in Akron, Ohio tonight.
Not bad. I wish I lived there.
Well, you know, there's a house for sale down the street. But anywho, why does it seem like 25 years ago, we're reliving a Groundhog's Day of 25 years ago in the House of Representatives? You remember when Bill Clinton was being impeached and Newt Gingrich had to resign in disgrace after the midterm election, and then they're doing the impeachment vote, and Bob Livingston was the next one in line to become the Speaker of the House, and he resigns in disgrace before he's even voted on because he had an affair with some woman other than his wife.
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting Denny Hastert.
Yeah, and if only we would have found out he was a kid toucher, and he would have gotten ousted.
Exactly. But see, this is what I'm saying is we don't have McCarthy anymore. Scalise resigns for whatever reason. Marjorie Traitor Greene says it's because he has blood cancer, which that could be the case. And we end up with another guy who is a wrestling coach who covered up for child molestation. So why is it we're having Groundhog's Day in the House of Representatives 25 years later?
Well, I mean, it is the Republican Party. Good point.
Exactly. Oh, and then also, you were talking about the moneyed interest. Remember, Donald Trump ain't going to give any money to those guys because Donald Trump doesn't spend money on anybody but himself, and he doesn't even spend it on himself. He just kind of hoards it.
Yep.
Because if he wasn't rich, he'd be hoarding garbage.
Well, that's why they weren't going to make him speaker, and I thought that from the beginning because that job is all about raising money. But I appreciate the call, Kurt. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you.
Let's go to Steve on line two. Steve, how are we doing today? What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I mean, I share your view with regard to what's going on in the Republican Party. Yeah, I mean, it's like a bunch of children who decided, you know, okay, well, we don't like the class president, and we're going to oust him. We have no plan for what comes after that because we don't have anybody else who could possibly get elected to the position. But, hey, you know, we'll oust him because we can. Because like a bunch of children, you know, we didn't get everything that we wanted on some menu that we had going into this process, because you know, in a functional democracy, in our system of government, you know, you don't get everything you want. Why? Because you don't control everything in government. And you certainly don't control the White House, and the president has the capacity to veto what things that are passed in the Congress. And there's a lot of people who voted for the other party. You know, it's not as if you've got a supermajority in your house. So and the speaker that you did have just barely squeaked by a victory after 15 ballots. And so basically, whoever runs now has got about four or five people in their party that they can play with.